Trevor's done playing. Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. Hanging out with Trevor from Moon Taxi. Trevor, how
are
you doing?
Great, how are you, Chris?
Very well.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we were in the first of two nights at the Ryman, which is a special treat for you guys.
Feels good to be here.
Yeah.
Hometown show.
Hometown, you can sleep in your own bed.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I saw a puppy before, so it's all good around here.
We have it all in here. We hung the moon, actually. I don't know if you guys can see this, but there's literally like a moon above Spencer, so I hope that thing stays in place tonight.
Yeah, because, right?
Otherwise, looks like you might be taking all the lead solos in that
case. Otherwise, you might have gone like to concussion protocol or something.
Oh,
no. Well, Trevor, we talked about moons, we talked about concussions. Let's talk about guitars, man.
All right, let's talk about the double cut.
Yeah, I've been wondering. I saw this at Shaky Knees earlier this year, and I'm like, what is the deal behind this?
It's just a shape that I've always been attracted to. I love the symmetry. You know, I love the fret access up top. And, you know, not many people play. See if the lights are going to strobe on us here.
Ooh.
Not many people play the double cut, so it's just, I don't know. It spoke to me. And
how long have you been with this guitar?
I've had this since 2012, and then before then I had an emerald green that had just the humbucker, so it didn't have the P90s on it. And then I just found this on eBay, luckily, and it came and it was in one piece. So I was like, oh, this is a
it's
sign.
It's always the chance.
I know. But no, I love it, and it's super light. It's chambered, so there's a chamber right here and then right here. So I haven't jumped on a scale with it, but it's probably like maybe 6 pounds.
Which is great for you guys' long sets.
Absolutely.
So you're able to no back problems like that.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm pretty mobile on stage too, so it's nice to not be too encumbered by a heavy LP or something.
Yeah, and why, I guess you bought it on eBay, but why stick with the P90s? You had the one, the emerald green with the humbuckers.
I don't really know, to be honest, man.
Just kind of liking it?
It sounds good, and I've never really had, a reason to change out the pickups. So
yeah.
Just sticking with these guys. And I love the simplicity of the control. You know, you can't dumb it down any more than this.
Yeah.
You know, just volume, tone, and then pickup switch on it. So it's great.
And is there anything you've had to do to it while you've had it since 2012?
Let me see. Oh, thanks. What have I done? I put in some locking strap locks on it, but fundamentally, actually, yeah. And okay, so this was like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Now that you say that, it makes me think of it. So the screws that hold this neck pickup in just completely failed on me. So I was playing a show. I think we were in Seattle.
Okay.
Big show at Neptune's. So it's this really cool club.
Yeah, great place.
Yeah, awesome place in Seattle. And it was the second song, and I was hearing this like kind of. While I was trying to play, and this doesn't make for some rocking stuff right there.
it sounds like a metronome.
No, it was really bad, except it was out of time for some reason. I don't know if it was my picking that day or what was going on. But so the pickup had dislodged, and it was actually just touching, not in a good way, it was touching the strings. So recently I had to do some work to it, but it's fun. I got in there and checked it out.
Yeah, you resolved the problem yourself?
I did.
Nice. Did you put any just new screws, or did you have to put like some shims in there?
No, there was like a little nut, I guess it is, that got dislodged from the body of the guitar. There's probably a more specific term for that. I don't know, but yeah, it's just the other end of the screw. I guess it's a locking nut that just came out of the body of the guitar. So
interesting that just
fixed
happened.
It's great.
Back to running order, huh?
Yeah. And then if we're going to talk about double cutaways, we got to step over here.
That thing
as a transition.
A marvel of. I don't even know,
this
man.
This is pretty unique. Let me get in the shot right
here. Yeah.
I'd like to just hand it off to you.
Oh, God.
If you want to display it. So this is one of 250 made double cut Telecasters, limited run, but I'm the proud owner of one.
So when you say you like double cuts, you definitely do like double cuts.
I
because
like
those are both very classic designs in the single cut world.
And yes.
Not to say that these still aren't Les Pauls or Telecasters, but they're definitely different.
Different and unique, and that's, maybe that's what's attractive to me about it.
But, this one has a nice belly cut.
Yeah, the only thing I don't love is this what do you call it, heel stock right here. Yeah,
joint.
Yeah, I don't know what they could have done differently there, but maybe on the next 250.
Yeah, they're right.
They can fix that.
And it looks like you have the stock Fender pickups in here, or are these different ones?
No, they actually switched out for some noiseless pickups.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Fender's been real sweet to me in helping me kind of get this guitar in working order. And then they fixed out the
saddles and the bridge
saddles,
there?
Yeah. Yeah, the saddles. They put in some, I think those are
They look titanium.
Yeah, I think they're titanium. Which, yeah, I sweat a little bit on stage, yeah. You know, like a lot of palm muting and sweating, which those two together, you know, make for some corrosion.
Yep, absolutely.
So, the titanium saddles are good for that.
So these being your two main guitars, how do they differ in terms of when you're going to use them on stage? Is this a backup for that one, or does this one have kind of a songs that it plays? Or
I do more rhythm stuff on this guy.
Okay.
So if I'm not taking a solo or if I'm just trying to stick in the back,
yeah,
I'll play the Fender because it kind of sits nicely in the mix there. But if I need to stick out, I'll definitely go for, I'll pick
got
up
that
this
one.
Guy. Yeah.
Just funny, I think either guitar you have on, you'll stick out.
Sure,
either way.
Sure,
at least visually.
Yeah, visually.
And what strings are you running on either one of these?
Ernie Ball 9 gauge.
Okay.
On those
have you
ones.
Always been a 9 player?
Switched to it recently when I learned the Hotel California solo. Because it's like...
big bends.
I got to be able to bend
yeah.
up there.
Is that... Because well, you guys do play covers quite a bit, and that's definitely an Eagles cover I know
we
you guys
do,
have done.
We do one classic rock cover usually per show.
I mean, not that this is going to air in the next 24 hours, but what are you going to play tonight for the kids?
I think we'll actually do Hotel California because it's like... new, like for us, it's new. We just learned it, and
yeah.
it's new on this tour. So,
and then you and Spencer can lock in for some sweet
absolutely,
harmonized stuff. Yep. And if all you are looking at me like I'm being some dumb, non-interested guy that's as Trevor shreds, I can't hear him. He's got in-ears, so we're having a conversation, and he's going directly into the camera. So as he plays, I can't hear a thing. Anyways, Trevor. Is there anything that you've done to this one? You changed, you had to fix that pickup. Is there anything besides switching out the noiselesses that you've had to do?
Really just the pickups and then the
bridge.
Bridge right there, bridge saddles. So other than that, it's, I guess it came, you know, straight from Fender. But like I said, one of 250 made. I've never seen another one with my own eyes, and I don't think I ever will.
Yeah, I've only seen one in person at NAMM show a couple years ago, so yeah. Definitely the first one I've ever held. Yeah, for sure.
I got stopped by the TSA one time.
Yeah, you're
there was
saying
a guitar
that.
Player that was like, I just need to look at that just to see what you have going on right here. Because
didn't he accuse you of, like, cutting something out?
I think he had, you know, some suppositions about me. Just a long-haired guy
yeah.
with a double-cut telly.
Telecaster. A lot of questions, not many answers,
nope,
man.
No, not many answers. I'm not going to provide them.
I'm going to put this back down here, and you were going to talk about amps now. So you got
sure.
the Fender set up.
Yeah,
and like
we
said.
Like Chris was saying, we have no stage volume right now. What you're hearing is a direct signal coming out of the back of this Mustang GT200.
How did you get turned on to the Mustang? I know that's a relatively new amp.
Yeah, it's a new amp, and we were just kind of trying to think of a solution for our stage volume. You know, I
yeah.
like to play real loud, and
yeah.
this way I can play as loud as I want, and it's just for me.
Yeah, and because prior to that, you guys were just
we're
using
doing twins.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So with the Mustang GT, we're just modeling a twin, 65 twin, and it has the EQ on there, and then you can just save it into the hard drive, the brain of mm-hmm. the amp. And then it also has an app component, so you can go kind of go in there and tweak and add some effects. But really, the effects that I use are on my board in front. So we just pretty much have it as a modeled Fender twin.
Yeah. And then you were showing before we got shut down by the Ryman sound police is that you can actually still get the volume if you need it to. You
yeah.
had the master, you just played it for a little bit, and
exactly.
then before we got the cut signal.
I mean, it does sound pretty good, and they might kick me out with the Ryman, but just...
I don't know if they can kick out the headliner.
Just so you can hear, Chris, so...
Oh, I'm involved again.
Uh-oh.
And me and Perry were both kind of marveled at like how rich the reverb was.
Yeah.
Being
the
digital
and all.
The
reverb is
nice. Yeah.
The warmth is there. I mean, it does a great job at modeling.
Cool.
You know, with no tube issues, you know.
Yeah.
And they're so light. I got to show you after we interview, but it's like, you feel like, oh, man, I'm just like been lifting or
between
something.
Between your chamber guitars and your modeling amps,
I know.
You're saving a lot of back pain.
Yep. Just super light.
All right, we got the cover. Two double cuts. The new Fender GT Mustang.
Fender ears, actually. This is a
oh, really?
Test run for their molded ears. So they have like some universal cut mm-hmm. ears, but this is a test run. I don't know if you can kind of get in close there and see the F emblem.
I see it.
It's subtle.
It's there.
It's there.
I can vouch it's there.
Yeah, but they're real nice. Where's my other one? It's around here somewhere. So yeah, they're just trying this out, so
cool.
Maybe they'll be available to you guys soon.
Well, we'll have to check them out. We're sitting right here at your pedal board. Might as well dive into this.
Yeah, let's
talk
about it.
Tell me what you got going on here and how you're using it.
So it's pretty simple. I used to have two boards, one that was dedicated to just a tuner, and this is my vocal processing unit, so our front of house guy doesn't really add any effects to my voice. Mm-hmm. I use it all with this TC Helicon Voice Play Live. So I used to have two boards, and it was just a lot of just this dancing around.
Yeah.
So I've consolidated now, and I kind of like the setup. It's real clean, real simple. We got two overdrives. We have a Pog. We have an Eventide. This is the newest addition to my board, the Eventide H9, which is a lot of fun and also has an app component. You know,
yeah.
It just feels like everything has an app.
You're
now
definitely in the 21st century, Trevor.
Yep, absolutely.
You're embracing the technology.
I am. You got to, you know, or else you'll fall behind or, I don't know, be a purist, which I like. I like the purists.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, this is
wanna
so
try
much
it all.
Lighter.
Yeah,
so
right.
So much lighter, man. Yeah, and I got my digital delay, which I've had this pedal for years. So I have settings in here that are ancient.
So I'm going to ask you, just because I see the sign right here, let's go for it. Too High. It has like a real nice, clean reverb,
sure,
delay sound. So what can you show us on that for
yeah,
that
I'll
kind of setting?
Yeah, I'll show you my setting. It's kind of a deep, warbly. Yeah, so some really nice reverb trails on that. And then if you add some grit to it at the end.
Yeah, towards the end of the song there.
Now that's just the verb on the amp. Still punchy. Sounds good.
Are you using that
verse,
a lot? The reverb on the amp, are you using it a lot?
I just keep it on
okay.
the whole time. Yeah, I just kind of set it and forget it.
Okay. But
then when I want those really long trails, put the Eventide on. And let me show you what I do for the vocals. I know I don't have my vocal mic set up here, but so with this is just like a kind of nice bass verb,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a hit function on there which you can kind of turn it on and off at your discretion, and so that is like a nice delay that's in time. You know, you can go in there and put in the BPM,
okay,
and then save it on there. So each song of ours in the set list has its own bank, which is really nice.
Yeah,
I just got this wireless from Shure. Really like it. Nice sound.
There's a tuner too, right?
Yep, there's a tuner built in. So that's pretty much it. Oh, I got a tap tempo. This is a Star tap tempo for my DD20. Kind of just tucked in there.
What about for like a gnarly kind of like solo tone? I know like in Suspicious or like any of those songs where you're taking the solos.
Right.
What kind of is your go-to distorted or like solo tone where you're coming, popping out?
I usually have just like a slapback delay on, and then just tap the tempo of the tune. Like, let's go with Suspicious. So that, I'll put the plimsoll on, which has some nice compression on the overdrive itself. And I also have a Boss chorus pedal, and this is usually always on.
Oh, really? Just
yeah.
to thicken it up a little bit?
Thicken it up,
yeah.
Give it just a little weirdness. It's not, I mean, I can't even hear it, but I like when it's on.
Yeah, it's almost like you can tell when it's not on.
Yeah. Level was up a little high on that. Love the plimsoll because you can just kind of rock the volume here and really just like this is the pre-chorus for Suspicious. But then you know you still have a lot in the chamber. tone I really like for Year Zero. So I kind of have a shimmer reverb effect.
Okay.
In conjunction with this pog. That shimmer goes on forever. Just trust me, it really
does. I know, I'm going to have to watch this back just to hear everything.
And then it also has a portion that's kind of distorted where I turn the shimmer off.
And is the pog something that you're using like to flavor things up, or more of like a solo tool? Like maybe Whiskey Nights. I don't know if I'm hearing things incorrectly, but I feel like maybe that gets kicked on at some point, or no?
Really just kind of I guess more flavor than anything else. Because I still have the dry octave in there.
Okay.
And then just blend a little bit of the sub and the octave up together. Mm-hmm. So I guess it kind of sounds a little bit like an organ.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah, so mainly just flavor. The Timmy I turn on for some rhythm parts that need just a little bit more volume, a little bit more cut. So,
one more question, Trevor.
What's that?
Morocco. So the intro to that, and then also the solo part. What do you got going on there? That's almost like bubbly, real bouncy tones.
So in that scenario, I don't know. Night to Night kind of differs, like depending on how fast I can get my foot over there. But usually I start out with a clean. Although we have been kind of elongating the intro for Morocco, so I'll do like a little tease of the vocal melody. And then kick into. And I know it says too high because I mean, to be honest, I've been using this too high setting on Morocco. So
yeah.
It's awesome. You write these new tunes and they kind of inform the old ones.
Yeah.
You know, everything's fair game here. Let me show you a setting. So this is a throwback setting. And I'm just going to turn stage volume on just so you can hear this a little bit.
Okay, I need to hear this. Again, if we get in trouble, this is all on Trevor.
I've wanted to, so I've watched a million rig rundowns.
Good.
A huge fan, by
Excellent.
The way. And I've wanted to tell you guys about this setting. So it's a dotted eighth note delay setting. And we wrote a song called Hypnose based on this lick. So it's just, the lick is four notes. But then.
Man, you just come alive with that one.
So real simple trick, I think, who did I see that described that to me? I was just searching YouTube videos. Maybe it was even on a rig rundown video, but yeah, it's just a dotted eighth note. So all it is just one return note.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it kind of opens up some possibility.
And now are you and Spencer playing those intro lines together, or is that just
so
it even makes it even bigger?
Makes it bigger and kind of stereo chorus-y sounding together. So wanted to show you that setting. I got some other, I use this on Square Circles, which is. Use this same setting on the solo for Morocco. It's just kind of just a really, really long delay. It's sometimes not in time, but you know, if you headbang in time, you don't really have to play in time.
It's right. Just as long as one of those things line up.
It's bad advice for guitar players. No, do play in time.
Headbang out of time.
Yes. That would be tough. That's like this.
Right. Well, I think we pretty much covered it, Trevor. I appreciate it. And
yeah,
I think
it's a simple board, you know, not too many pedals. I wish I had cooler, more unique ones, but it's working for me, so I guess that's the point.
I mean, yeah, you're doing the job. You're playing Two Nights of the Rhyme, and I can't say you're not getting it done. I'm going to talk to Spencer now, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Thank
Chris.
You. All right, now we're up on the riser here. Spencer, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Great. Thank you very much. We again Got the Fender set up, very quiet. So again, you guys will be hearing stuff I won't be hearing. But Spencer's kind enough to put in some in-ears and go ahead through his sound for us. But first off, talk to me about this beautiful 345 you got.
Yeah, this is a 1964 Memphis reissue 345 that Gibson was nice enough to let me have my hands on about a year ago. And ever since I got it, it's been my main guitar.
What were you playing before that?
A Strat, Les Paul, which I still play. Mm-hmm. This is particularly fantastic in the studio. I mean, just direct in, it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's just super clean and round. And at first I wasn't playing it live a ton because it was just so nice.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't really want to travel with that, but it kind of became a lot of the sound of our new record. It was tons of this guitar, and so it just kind of sounds, as we're playing the new songs and getting ready for the new record, it kind of is a big part
makes
of that
sense,
sound.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I believe I saw you down in Atlanta shaking knees in May playing this guitar.
Yeah.
I have photographic evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But this is different than the 335 because it has the baritone circuit.
The baritone,
do you mess with that much?
Live, I usually keep it where it is.
Okay.
Either it's positioned closest to me or one in. Studio, I've done some cool things where like the track Too High that's out now. It's this guitar, DI, literally right into a laptop. Doubled, two tracks of guitars, one on this setting, which is where I usually play live. And then one on the far extreme of the opposite side. And so those two kind of contrasting things, like in stereo, is really cool. Yeah,
yeah,
it really does. And one's kind of full, one's kind of thin, but they come together to create a cool thing. This one almost sometimes can sound like an acoustic, depending kind of on how it's treated. So, I mean, it's, obviously you can tell it's a huge range of tone between the two of them.
Yeah, that circuit might not be, like you said, something that gets utilized live, but it is certainly a tool source for the studio.
Yeah, totally, totally. I try to keep things pretty simple and consistent so I'm not spending tons of time making huge adjustments between
the
songs.
I get that. What do you got for strings?
Funny thing about me and strings is I never changed them. These are what came on the guitar a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Unless the string breaks, which I rarely do, I really don't change them. Unless there's like a serious issue, like I'm noticing that the intonation is just out of whack, I'll keep strings on for over a year.
I imagine it's not just because you're strictly lazy or hate changing strings, but what do you like about
dead
strings?
That's part of it. But,
really? Okay.
I don't know. I just, you know, as long as it's playing well and feels good, I don't feel the need to change it.
You
know, it's just like it's comfortable, it's where it's at. Brand new strings, I'm not a huge fan of playing them. I don't know why. They're just too bright and you know, not worn in. I mean, some of the greatest instruments I've ever played have strings that are like 5 years on them.
Yeah,
it's just I don't know. I just kind of, you know, especially on instruments like bass and stuff, the older the strings are, I feel like if it's a good instrument, it's almost like the
yeah, it's there. A typical thing I hear with bass players is that they'll leave them on until they either fall off a break or, if they have to go in the studio or some other instance, they feel they need to do it. But, I've never really heard a guitar player that's done it for a year and a half. So.
I do not like changing strings, so maybe I'm just convincing myself of all this stuff. I don't know.
Totally, but how you're hearing
it.
And when you're playing, are you normally in the neck or the bridge, or are you kind of fluctuating between those different pickup settings?
I'm normally... that's not true. I'm normally either on both or on the neck pickup. It gets a little intense on the bridge pickup. Just because live we're so loud that like adding treble to already bright sounds, can be
ice piercing.
It's like, again, it's studio, you don't really have those problems because you can always just get it at the right level. Mm-hmm. But for live, I'm weary of adding too much brightness just because I'm aware of how much volume there
you've
already is.
You've been in the audience before.
Yeah. <It's just laughs>
You've dealt with that.
Yeah.
And I see that you play both fingerstyle and with a pick. What pick do you currently use, and do you have like a preference, or is it something
I think picks make a big difference. I use Dunlop graphite picks. This is like a 1.14. I lots of times will use a 2.
Okay, so it's you're fluctuating almost more on the gauges than the actual materials, or do you mess around with different materials too?
I really only use these if I can. I think, to me, like if I use like a plastic pick or something, it just, the tone is kind of totally different. It's just not as round sounding. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I am pretty into. It's like, I mean, for instance, to me, that's a totally different sound.
Yeah. You know, so people overlook the differences a pick can make in terms of tone.
Yeah, I agree. So.
And has there been anything you've had to do to the guitar since you've had it? I mean, clearly you haven't changed strings.
I haven't even had a setup on it yet. some guy saw it in the studio and he was like, and he was a guitar guy, like bringing in gear, and he was like, "Man, the bridge is not set up correctly on that. It's never gonna play in tune." And I was like, "Man, I've done a lot of sessions and a lot of gigs on this for a year and a half, and it sounds good. One day I'll get it set. I'll take it to Gibson and have them set it up." And
it'll be funny because I don't think you'll like it then, because it'll be set up to someone, you know,
yeah, have to
perfect
give it back
settings, and then you'll have new strings on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll see how long these can last. I mean, they've got a lot of history on them right now. Just
yeah.
Keep
I mean,
it
like
going.
You said, you've recorded the
album whole album on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna go on, you know, world tours. So we'll. The day I break a string, I'll be really sad.
There'll be a lot of history in that string.
That's right.
All right. Well, again, like Trevor, you're using the Fender Mustangs. Uh-huh. What do you dig about them, and like your transformation from using the tube twins to now with this, the modeling amp?
You know, in the studio for years, we've slowly done almost all the guitars DI. We started with doing like half and half DI, half amp, and we just like the sound of DI. And I mean, granted, this is a modeling thing, but we just became more open-minded about getting rid of amps.
Yeah.
You know? And there's something kind of clean and modern. I mean, if you listen to a lot of like current music that has guitar on it in like the pop world anyways, a lot of it is sort of just that really clean, crystally DI guitar. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a really cool sound that we've been kind of getting into over years. And I like the way that it handles effects. It's kind of not in the traditional way of like overloading a tube. It's in a much more just transparent, here it is, you know. It's like reverb, like for reverb, you know, even though this has like a modeled spring reverb on it, mm-hmm. I still prefer to use like a digital hall reverb type pedal to get there. Just like, there's something, it's like if you're gonna go the route of this, it's like, why not do the whole thing, you know?
Yeah,
just
go
like,
the full way.
Yeah. Not having stage volume is awesome. I mean, because it just makes it, not necessarily for me, I just know how much better it probably is for the listener to like, because we would get loud, like really loud. I mean, we had two Fender twins that were cranked up pretty hot, and then once you're trying to compete with that, like everything has to come up.
Everyone else is coming up.
And then it's just, I know what a nightmare that must be. So it keeps us in check and lets us do whatever we want, you know. We're not worried about an overdrive getting, you know, blowing everything out, you know. The fact that we're not constantly dealing with, you know, replacing tubes rattling, it's been a game changer for us, really.
So. Yeah, and Trevor was saying, again, you have a semi-hollow. Mm-hmm. The amp itself is pretty light, too, so even there, you're saving, back real estate and
it's beautiful.
Energy.
For a while, we didn't even, we thought it'd be cool to, like, not have any amps on stage just for the look, so we put these, like, back, but we're like, this is just, we got to put something up. And the fact that they look so cool is, like, that they're black and kind of sleek looking, as opposed to looking like, you know, a silver face amp or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we're big fans.
Cool. Well, let's dive into your pedal board here. What are you working with, and what's kind of your signal path?
Again, I try to keep it pretty simple. First thing I'm going into is this Analog Man compressor, which is a pedal I found when we were recording our last album, Daybreaker, at Blackbird here. The engineer, a guy named Lowell Reynolds, had one. And I started using it recording on stuff. And I've always been looking for a compressor pedal that I liked, but they're kind of, you know, sometimes they can be so intense that it's like hard to really, might sound cool, but then once you start playing shows, it's like, I can't get this thing to work, you know. This one seems to work great, you know, it's intense. I mean, it does squash things down, but in a way that's real musical and kind of transparent. I don't leave it on all the time. I kind of use it more in conjunction with a clean tone than I do with lead tones, although sometimes I will have it on a lead tone, but...
Can you kick it off real quick and play that same progression just to kind of show people the difference of what you're dealing with?
I am using it for a little bit of a volume boost, so you will notice this is choir, but... Because I'll rarely ever play clean without it on, so it's kind of like my de facto clean is usually... But you can definitely hear the compression, you know, kicking in. It's very even and balanced.
You're setting it currently at pretty much both knobs at noon. I imagine you could even get even more squish out of it.
It can get crazy squishy if you want. It's a really cool sounding pedal to me. That goes first. Out of that, I go, this is kind of like my audible pedal spot. I kind of switch pedals there like every 3 months or so. I had a Phase 90 there forever that kind of just started dying on me. And I love that pedal.
Yeah, but, both of that and the Super Chorus are both kind of like...
It's like the modulation spot in my board that I'm just constantly switching out. The Phase 90 is awesome, and I had one of those little things you put on
the knob wheel
so that I could
change
with my foot, which was really useful for a pedal like that. So I got the Chorus on there now. I'm not using it a ton, but I do use it. I do like it. I have it on a much more subtle setting than I did something like the Phase 90.
Where in a set or a song would this get kicked on?
We have a new song called Moving to the City that has kind of, on the record, it was a guitar run into a Leslie speaker. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of got the wobbly sounds. And I probably would make it a little more extreme than it is now for that. It's kind of set on a pretty neutral setting. Something, it's got a guitar part that's like... So it kind of gives you that Leslie sound, the kind mm-hmm. of off-kilter, wobbly thing.
Just a little bit of seasick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then that runs into all the gain and distortion plugins. The first one's a Sparkle Drive made by Voodoo Lab, mm-hmm. and this is like my fourth one. I've had them forever. I like the fact that it's an overdrive, but it's not particularly gritty at all. It's just real smooth and mm-hmm. kind of sparkly, as its name implies.
Yeah.
And that's usually on when we play live most of the time. Like the setting of all the pedals that's kind of like the standard is the Sparkle Drive on, the Holy Grail Reverb on, and then everything else is kind of, you know, added or subtracted to that.
Yeah, extra toppings. What do you got down here? Yeah, the gains, or no.
I'm not using it as a clean boost, although the clean boost on it is really good.
Mm-hmm.
If you just wanted to use it as a clean boost, it's a great pedal for that. But I use it just for the gain setting, and everything's at about noon.
Yeah. So it's almost like the Sparkle Drive is your dirty tone, and then
right.
the compressor being on with your amp is more like the clean setting.
Exactly, yeah.
And everything else is kind of going off of that.
You know, see, this isn't terribly crunchy, but it's a little, you know, something. And I tend to never play too many just like chords. Most of the parts that I end up playing are more articulated single line things.
Yeah, more the texture guy.
So you're not getting tons of, you know, loud crunchiness. So when you're doing individual notes with a pedal like that, not hearing it necessarily as like distorted, you know, it's just kind of a little color. And then that goes into this modified DS1 that I've got a good friend in Bowling Green, Kentucky, a guy named Joey Mays, who's kind of my pedal guru. He sends me these modded pedals, and he gave me this Chorus pedal. This is the second modded DS1 he's given me.
Do you know what he does?
Don't know what the mod does, to be honest. It makes it louder and like seems to add like a little more mid-range. Specifically what it does, I don't know.
That little switch there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This pedal I own, it's like the solo, you know, rip your face off lead pedal. And I always use it in conjunction with the Sparkle Drive. So the Sparkle Drive's driving it.
Pushing it even harder.
Thank you. So it's still a pretty smooth sounding overdrive, not too gritty. And then after that is probably my favorite pedal.
Yeah, the mean green one there.
It is it's a copy of the kind of mid 90s green Russian Big Muffs. And that I usually don't use that in conjunction with any other pedal. I don't find that fuzz and reverb usually sound that good together.
Generally, no.
Unless you're going for something really weird and maybe put like the verb before the fuzz or something. But it's just on its own. We have a song called Red Hot Lights that's kind of driven by a pretty fuzz just riff that it's awesome on. I don't know, something about it. Fuzz pedals are hard. I mean, there's a lot of great fuzz pedals out there, but they're all so tricky. You know, some have great... It's hard to find one that really works live because sometimes they can be just so drastically different than everything else in your tone, and it's hard to control the levels. It's hard to control the noise. But this one kind of hits a lot of sweet spots. It still has low end. You don't lose the low end. It's got a little bit of the synthiness. It's in the kind of gritty distortion thing on the top end is like in a real sweet spot for me. So
where did you get that pedal from? Was that from your pedal guru?
That's from my guru. Yeah. Which I don't know where he got
and
it.
And was that a situation where he's like, here, try out this fuzz, or where you're like, hey, I'm really into 90s green Russian fuzzes, can you build me one?
No, he was like, try this out. I didn't really know much about the 90s Big Muffs. I have the Big Muff Pi, which used to be in its place, which I love, but for a while I had them both, and which was just I never used them in conjunction. I was just kind of checking them out, but ultimately this thing is just, I don't know, it's just really cool. And every time I like play it for someone in the studio or something, I'm like, what is that? That's so cool sounding. So it's, I don't know, it's a real special pedal. I have no idea, and plus it's like the coolest looking thing ever.
It's I like that mystery. It's got the silver no name top, but has the green knobs, so if you're paying attention you can maybe get a hint of what's underneath the hood.
And then that runs into the spatial stuff, just a real simple Holy Grail Nano reverb pedal, which I just leave hall setting right at 12 o'clock. I find this, the knob is quite sensitive. If you go over 12 o'clock you can get pretty washy pretty quick. Is that's past 12 o'clock, and then right at 12 o'clock is kind of a sweet spot. And I had that and a touch of spring on the amp, but now I kind of prefer just using that, take the spring off.
Why do you
so the amp's totally dry.
Prefer that versus out of the three settings, or even like spring reverbs inside the amp. Why do you like the hall versus that?
Like back when we were using real twins, I love, Fender spring reverb. Mm-hmm. But in the more digital modeled world, I kind of like this better. I kind of like a digital hall. And that same goes for like guitar in the studio. I love like being able to put just like reverb plugins on guitar as opposed to amp reverb or something. Mm. It's just kind of a preference. It sounds more spatial to me and less like, vintage spring reverb.
Yeah.
It just kind of depends on the style of music. I mean, if we were playing blues rock or soul or stuff, this wouldn't really make much sense. But for what we're doing now, I'm really into it. And that runs, actually I misspoke, so that actually comes at the very end. Before that is the DD20, which we've used forever. Trevor,
yeah, you guys
used
both
to
have one.
Used to have two. And he actually helped me get this one. He's like, you gotta get this one. And he actually wrote a lot of the settings in here. We play a lot of tracks to a click, so what's nice is I don't ever tap tempos in, but for particular songs I just know what they are. So
yeah.
I've already preset them. For instance, we have a song called All Day All Night that I know is at 106 BPM, so that's just good to go at my save setting. And same for a lot of songs. Too High, I know, is at 107.
It's nice to have them dialed in with each number like that.
Yeah. And then, I'll use these. I mean, I don't just use that for that song. They're also just like this reverb is subtle enough that I can kind of use it, like kind of keep it on.
All over.
It doesn't really, you know. And then there's a longer one that matches a setting that's also on Trevor's. So when we'll play certain songs, we'll have both be running through the same delay settings.
Yeah, because you guys do lock up a couple times, you know, yeah. About songs.
So this is like my long delay. And that's one that I think I heard Trevor playing that we're both basically on the exact same delay setting, playing the same part just in octaves together, mm-hmm. but it's all synced up. And then that runs into the Holy Grail, and that's it. Like I said, for live, I think simple. Whenever I've had like too much, I find myself just because I'm also like playing some keyboard parts. I'm just like constantly dancing around and switching settings and stuff. So,
are you running any of the effects? I mean, through the keyboard, or are you just running just the
I'm
keyboard
not
as
doing
is?
That. Yeah, the keyboard's just its own thing. I've thought about getting into that. The only thing that scares me is relying on the stability of a computer. You know, computers seem way more likely to crash than hardware.
Yeah.
Although they're all susceptible to, you know, technical glitches. But for now, I still like using pedals, and I like the color that pedals bring for live. And it's just nice to be able to step on something and, you know, still have that kind of feel.
At any point, are they testing your dexterity, having you to like do hammer-ons and play keyboard? Are you having to do that anytime through the set?
I haven't done that yet. No.
Okay, good.
It's usually one or the other.
Thank gosh.
Yeah.
I think
that's too much.
Yeah.
I think I just fall over.
I think you would shut down like a computer.
Yeah, just malfunction.
Spencer, appreciate talking to us.
Yeah, blast. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. From Rig Guitar, Rig Rundown.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.